So yesterday I was at a meeting in Portage, Wisconsin. It's about a 90-minute drive. And I really enjoyed listening to the playlist that we have set up at newdaywi.com. If you haven't checked that out yet, it's under the Resources tab. And we've decided that over the next few months, we're kind of limiting, in a typical three-month period, we'd have 40 songs that we would switch around for Sunday mornings. We're limiting that down, narrowing it down to 21 songs because we want to give you the opportunity to get to know those songs better, to sing along. So I'm doing that. I've changed up my kind of my playlist for life for the next few weeks. And I'm listening to these songs, and there's a point where I'm driving in the car and I'm thinking, please don't pass out, because I'm singing so loud. And I'm like, just don't pass out, don't pass out. You should stop singing, Aaron. You should stop. No, because you're getting ready for tomorrow. You're practicing. So I'm going through this battle of singing too loud. I hope some of you have that experience over the next few weeks, that you check out that playlist. There's a YouTube playlist. There's a Spotify playlist. But you can see what the songs are. And even if you don't use any of those, I don't use either of those. So I'm using Amazon, and I had to actually buy a couple of the songs. And like, so what? I spend money on stuff all the time. Could I spend money on readying myself for Sunday morning worship? Absolutely. I made it home. I did not pass out. When I got home, Michelle was gone to a swim meet in Nina, or one of our kids' swims. And so I cleaned up the house because that's what I do when I am there and Michelle is not, so that when she comes home, she can see that it's clean and she can say, oh, the house is so clean. And I can feel like, yes, points. So I cleaned the house and I thought, this is perfect. I'm going to take one of those pizzas that's in the freezer that I buy for myself, one of the pizzas that I like, because I like sausage pizza. And I've gotten to the point that I don't care if anyone else turns their nose up at it. I'm buying it because sometimes dad has to get what dad likes. Otherwise, dad's going to get cranky, okay? So my plan is I'm going to make one of these pizzas. But through the course of cleaning up the house, part of what I'm cleaning up is like Christmas stuff. And there's a lot of snacks. And so I'm testing them out, right? I'm having some pistachios and some gummy colas and whatever else. I'm just eating a little bit. By the time Michelle came home and said, well, what are we going to have for dinner? And I thought, I want to put one of those pizzas in the oven, but I wasn't hungry. I had a perfect plan. I've been saving the sausage pizza for the perfect time. But what I did was I snacked. And I missed my great opportunity. John Piper is this, used to pastor a church in the Twin Cities. He's a theologian, author, really smart guy. And I was reading through our prayer and fasting guide, which is available for you to grab on your way out today. I'll talk more about that. There's a quote from him, and he says, if you don't feel a hunger for God, it isn't because you have eaten your fill or you have had your fill of him. It's because you have snacked on the things of the world. So true. God is so good. I mean, I feel a little bit ashamed that in this analogy, I'm comparing him to sausage pizza. I really like sausage pizza, though. I need you to understand that. God is so good. He is what we are to be hungering for, and we're designed with a hunger for him. He created us to long for him. And what we tend to do is when we feel a longing, we find little things to satisfy that. Oh, I'm feeling a little bit of anxiety. What could calm me down? Well, let me pull my phone out and let me look for something to distract me. The pains that we have, the internal cues that are to drive us to God, we find other things to fill those. Today, I want to teach about prayer and how Jesus taught about prayer to catch you up on why I want to do that right now. I mean, we're in January, we're in the beginning of the year, and I'm talking about like big picture vision. What direction do we need to head? Where do we need to go? Last week, I shared results from a natural church development survey. I'm going to share some more results from that now. Anybody who was here last week, do you remember? It's two words. Do you remember what our lowest area? There's eight quality characteristics. Do you remember what our lowest quality characteristic was? Anyone? Passionate spirituality. Yeah, of course. Thank you. Heidi's here. She is on our office staff, so she has been hearing me talk about this for months. Passionate spirituality. And we saw that there's some different components to passionate spirituality. One is passion for your church. And we did relatively well in passion for your church. And then there's experiencing God in your daily life. And then there's spending time in Scripture. And then there's prayer. And on those three, we were low. I'm going to ask Marcy, could you put up on the screen? Yeah. Now I know you can't read this. I'm going to help you out. Don't worry. Relax. These are our lowest 10 individual areas. Like each of the eight quality characteristics has like 10 questions that go along with it. These are our lowest 10 individual questions. So I'm going to tell you what they are, and I'll tell you what quality characteristic they fall under. Over here, 49. And if you remember last week, 50 is average. So this is below average. The small group and ministry leaders in our church each mentor at least one person. We're low in that. I'm going to talk about that next week. All right. Then we go down to, I often tell other Christians when I've experienced something from God. That's 47. Now that goes along with this 44 over here that says, I experience God's work in my life. Well, if you're not experiencing God's work in your life, of course you're not going to be sharing what God is doing in your life. I enjoy reading my Bible on my own. That got a 46. The Bible is a powerful guide for me in the decisions of everyday life. That's a 46. When new people come to church events, now this one is a confusing one. There's two of them here that are particularly confusing to me. When new people come to church events, we approach them openly and lovingly. 44, below average. On a related note, today, after the service, there's a second Sunday lunch. Those are designed so that each of you can approach a new person openly and lovingly. And you go, but how do I don't know who the new people are? Look at somebody. If you don't know their name, they're a new person to you. It can just be that simple. Second Sunday lunch is an opportunity, and I know we want to connect with people who we know. Second Sunday lunch is an opportunity. Switch it up a little bit. Shake it up. Say hi to somebody you don't know. Get to know them. This is the other one that's confusing to me. Another one, this 44. Our leaders clearly believe that God wants our church to grow. Let me just be clear. Your pastor wants your church to grow. Jesus wants your church to grow. And that means more. And again, we're going to get into this next week. That means more than just higher attendance and higher budget numbers. Jesus preached about the kingdom of God everywhere he went. And what he preached is that the kingdom of God grows and multiplies. So we got to discover what that means. And we need to be convinced that that's what he has in mind for this particular manifestation of the kingdom of God. Okay, now we get down to the last three. I'm going to read them in succession, starting at 43 and then 42 and then 38 points. Our lowest, this is the only one in the 30s, but I'm going to read them quickly in succession and you're going to listen for a theme. I pray for my friends, colleagues, and relatives who do not yet know Jesus Christ, that they will come to faith. The next one, I know that other church members pray for me regularly. The last and lowest one, times of prayer are an inspiring experience for me. Imagine when I got these results and I saw that our last three, lowest three areas have to do with prayer. I'll be honest with you, we've been talking about like building stuff. Two of these prayer questions have to do with passionate spirituality. One has to do with need-oriented evangelism, our second lowest quality characteristic. Honestly, when I saw this, I thought, if we undertake a building project and we are not driven by prayer and driven by evangelism, sharing Christ with others, that could be disastrous. If we're not doing it by God's power in our lives, if we're not doing it in order to reach people in the community for the sake of mission, why would we be building a building? So I want to make sure that we address these as we talk about the future of the church. Our lowest three questions had to do with prayer. So we have this New Day 201 class that starts tomorrow, and it's just a one-time thing. There's a class being offered on Monday, and there's a class being offered on Thursday. And there are four components to that class. One of the components is prayer. And what I've done is I've taken that out of the class and I've put it right here, right now. We're doing a prayer thing. That double bonus, it frees up more time to cover other things on Monday and Thursday. But I'm going to take from that class, a class that originally by Rick Warren from Saddleback Church, the same guy who was behind the mental health series that we did in the fall. So everything's going to start with the same letter because that's how he organizes things. It'll be real easy to follow. What I like about what Pastor Rick did, though, here is he's not just teaching practically from human experience. He's looking at how Jesus taught about prayer. That's what we want to do. We want to learn from Jesus. So if you're here and you're feeling like, yeah, this whole prayer thing, I don't feel hungry for God. I don't feel interested or excited about prayer time. If you need to revitalize your prayer life, I need you to tune in because that's what we're talking about. Revitalize your prayer life. We're going to talk about two different things: approaching prayer with the right attitude and following the pattern that Jesus gave us. So let's talk about attitude. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Jesus said, when you pray, and let's stop right there. He doesn't say if you pray. The assumption is that followers of Jesus are praying. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. They are nibbling on recognition from the world rather than genuinely approaching God. Now, this is a less popular thing to do today than it was in the first century. If someone were to pray publicly out loud on a street corner today, people would not look at them and go, wow, that person really has it together. In this culture, though, that's what they were doing. They were showing how connected, how pious they are. And Jesus calls them hypocrites. It's just a Greek word that means actors. You're just acting. Remember from last week? They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They're just acting. So the first thing about approaching prayer with the right attitude is just be real. Don't be acting. Just be real. I've got a go-to illustration about prayer that I think is funny, and it's short, and some of you have seen me share this before. If you haven't, you've got to, and if you have, you'll understand that everybody's really got to enjoy this. So I'm going to let one of my favorite guys, Michael Jr., share with us his experience about prayer. So just be real. Be real. There is a time for prayer together, and then there's a time for prayer without any distractions around you. You need to find a place where you can unplug. So be real, and also the second, be relaxed. Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. don't be like the hypocrites who only pray when other people are watching. This is about you communicating with God. Relax. Now, you need to find some place where you can be alone, or you can somehow separate yourself, be quiet, take those deep breaths, remove distractions, and concentrate. The main excuses people have for praying is that they don't have the time, they don't have a place to do it. And in this church, we did an informal survey just on a Sunday morning, and the most we had check boxes, and the check box most people said about what gets in the way of them praying is, I forget to do it. So we've got to be prioritizing, we got to be finding a place, we got to be finding a time. Make it a priority. Be proactive. Quick story about a woman in the 1700s, Susanna Wesley. She had these two boys who grew up to be major church leaders in the United States. They started the Methodist movement. This lady in the 1700s, so, you know, she doesn't have all the stuff we have, but what she does have is 19 kids. 19 kids. Now, this woman committed to praying 1 hour every day. How do you feel about that? If I were to ask you, just carve out an hour of your day. You're going, where do I get that? Now add 19 kids. And her plan, what she did not have a closet that she could hide in. She did not have a room where there weren't kids all over. She had an apron that she would flip over her head for 1 hour, and the kids knew, Mama's praying. And they did not mess with Mama during prayer time. That was the only way she could do it. And she committed to it. It was a discipline in her life. We are disciples. We need disciplines in our lives. If she can do it, you can do it. It's a matter of prioritizing. So be real, be relaxed. Find a place where you can unplug. And then be revealing. Matthew 6, as we continue, verse 7, when you pray, don't babble on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask Him. Memorizing a prayer and saying it over and over again, Jesus specifically says here, don't do that. Be real with God. Talk to Him as if He loves you. I was thinking about this and imagining, what if I talk to Michelle the way I hear some people pray? Oh, Michelle, dearest Michelle, I just am hopeful to find the scissors in this house, which was once so plentiful with scissors. Dearest Michelle, if you would just help me, Michelle. Help me see where the scissors might be. I don't talk to her like that. I just say, hey, do you know where the scissors are? They were right here. When you come to God, be revealing. Tell Him what's on your heart. Just talk to Him like a dear friend. Approach prayer with the right attitude, is what Jesus says. And then use the model that Jesus gave us. So we're continuing. These are His instructions. We're just continuing in the book of Matthew. We're just continuing with what He says about prayer. Commonly, this is called the Lord's Prayer. Now, I want to point out, Jesus said before he spoke His prayer that we know as the Lord's Prayer, He said, this is how you are to pray. Pray like this. Now, I know it's going to sound like I'm picking on some traditions and some churches. I'm reading it right out of Scripture. In one verse, Jesus says, don't repeat the same words again and again. And in the next verse, He says, pray like this. And somewhere we got the idea that we should memorize the prayer of Jesus and we should say it over and over again. How did that happen? How do we just ignore that first verse that says, don't do that? I don't know how Jesus feels about this. A lot of us know the Lord's Prayer, and it's not bad to have it memorized. It's great to have Scripture memorized. What we want to do, though, is we want to break it down. We want to pray like this, not just pray this over and over again. We want to be honest. We want to be revealing. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation, and then I'm going to break it down, and I'm going to break it down into the words that a lot of us memorized as part of our religious tradition. But the New Living Translation, Matthew 6, starting in verse 9, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we've forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. We're going to break that down into six parts. Brent, if we could get a little bit of light in here, because we've got some blanks that anybody in here who's a little bit OCD is going to want to make sure that they have these filled out, every one of them, before they leave. Otherwise, I'm going to hear about it. So we need enough light. Six parts of prayer that are revealed in the Lord's Prayer. The first one is praise. I begin prayer by expressing my love to God. In the King James Version, it sounds like, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We start with praise, expressing our love for God. If we just launch right into what we want, we're missing an important key here. To acknowledge who God is in our lives. To praise Him. Now, praise happens in a couple of different ways. We praise God by acknowledging and being grateful for who He is and acknowledging and being grateful for what He does. So make that a part of your prayer. Make that the way you begin. I see the wisdom in Jesus teaching us to pray this way because we start by saying our Father in heaven, which not only expresses that He loves us and we love Him as a father ought to love a child, as a child ought to love a father. It also aligns the authority in the relationship. You're the one who provides for me. You're the one who protects me. And your name ought to be kept holy. It starts us on the right track. Psalm 100, verse 4, we read, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. If we're not entering into prayer with praise and thanksgiving for who God is and what He has done, we're starting with a crooked posture. So first of all, praise. I begin by expressing my love to God. Second, purpose. I commit myself to God's purpose and will for my life. Purpose. I commit myself to God's purpose and will for my life. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is an acknowledgement that He is God and I am not. That it is about His will being done. And the great sin of humanity is the insistence that my will be done. And Jesus says, pray like this, thy will be done. May your will be done, God. We looked at Romans 12, 1 last week, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Give your bodies to God as a living and holy sacrifice. Really what that's talking about is, as you're walking around, wherever you go, let all of this be given to God, that His will would be done. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you would offer yourself to His service. The third thing that we see in the outline that Jesus gives us about prayer is provision. I ask God to provide for my needs. In the Lord's Prayer, give us our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. So what needs is it okay to pray about? All of them. Even the stuff that seems selfish and petty to you. Pray about that. Because what God can do when you open that up to Him, you can even admit to Him, this seems a little bit selfish, God. However, I really would like this thing. Not my will be done, though, but yours. Your will be done. Everything, every need you can think of. The fourth, pardon. I ask God to forgive my sins. This part of the Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our debts. And there are different steps to forgiveness. Number four, pardon. I ask God to forgive my sins. Four steps to forgiveness. One of them is praying that the Holy Spirit would reveal to us where we need some work done. Psalm 139, 23 through 24, we've been over this before, is this beautiful prayer in the Psalms. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. God, point out anything. And then confess each sin specifically. Sin grows in the dark. When you give it a name, when you say it, you start to shed light on it. Take an inventory and lay those before God. And then make restitution when that's necessary. I remember a time when I was in prayer and something came to mind, somebody who I had offended years earlier. And I thought, God is bringing this to mind for a reason. I looked this person up on Facebook, sent them a message, and said, I realize that this, what I did at this time hurt you, and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And there was no problem. They had no problem forgiving me. And what that did was it was an act of obedience. It was giving this to God and saying, if that's what you want me to do, God, then that's what I'll do. Make restitution. That's an instruction that Jesus gives us. And then accept God's forgiveness. For some of you in this room, this is the most difficult thing. 1 John 1, starting in verse 8, John explains to us, if we claim to have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Now, when somebody comes to me, and this happens regularly, and says, I'm really struggling with something. I'm carrying around this guilt about this thing that I've done in the past. I don't feel cleansed. I don't feel forgiven. I'm just carrying around this weight that plagues me. I invite them to imagine the cross. Imagine Christ on the cross. And imagine yourself in the presence of Christ on the cross, where He has been nailed to that wood, where He has been whipped, where His flesh has been torn to ribbons. There's blood dripping down. He's got this crown of thorns. He's been beaten. He's been mocked. And all of that is what we deserve, because in our lives, every one of us has said, I am the King. And we have enacted a rebellion against God, and we deserve separation from Him. We deserve death for that. It's not that God wants to punish us. It's that we have said, I don't want to live under your protection and provision. I'm okay on my own. And that's what we deserve. But God loves us so much that he sent his son. And even in the midst of our sin, he took the penalty for our sin. So you have the opportunity to then say, yes, that was enough. To hear the words of Jesus as he hangs on the cross, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And for him to look down at you and say, it is finished. When we sing things like your grace is enough, that's what we're talking about. When we say amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It's an acknowledgement that what he did was enough. Now, if you are walking around carrying guilt and you will not let go of that guilt and you're just plagued by it all the time, I want you to imagine yourself at the foot of that cross and hearing Jesus say, it is finished. And then you look up at him and say, it wasn't enough. What you did was not enough. Now, none of us would want to say that out loud. And yet that's what we're saying by continuing to carry the guilt. The promise is, it is finished. This is enough. Your sins, once for all time, are nailed to the cross. Now, if you're having a hard time letting go, if you're having a hard time receiving forgiveness, then you have something wonderful to pray about. To pray about, God, put in my heart the truth, the reality of the cross. Get this past taken care of. Give me hope for a future that isn't plagued by what I've been carrying. Forgive us our debts. Jesus paid the debt. Number five, people. I pray for other people. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is a reminder to let go of our grudges, our prejudices, our injuries, to remember that if God did that for us, we need to extend that grace and forgiveness to other people. Paul says in a letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf, and give thanks for them. Jesus talked about loving your neighbor. In the same section of Scripture where he's telling people how to pray, he says, you've heard it said, love your neighbor. I tell you, love your enemy. Anyone can love their neighbor. Everybody does. They're nice to people who are nice to them. You need to be people who love your enemy, who pray for those who persecute you. Pray for all people, even people you don't agree with, people who offend you, people you don't like, people who persecute you, people who want to harm you. You pray for them, for their good. And then finally, protection. I ask for spiritual protection from God. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We face a spiritual battle every day. We face things that want to distract us from who our King is, things that want to fill us up with what the world has to offer. The thing is, when we take what the world has to offer, we are filled up only to leak out again. We are drinking dirty, poisonous water that doesn't actually fulfill. It just gives us the thought, the trick that we are being filled. We need to be protected. We need to have clarity of thought. This is a great way to start your day with prayer and to pray that God would protect you spiritually, that he would point out to you what are the dangerous roads to go down and that he'd give you a different path to take. Protection. Ask for spiritual protection and then we can be assured that we have it. 1 John 4:4, the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. You are given everything you need. Don't be afraid. I want to close this teaching today by encouraging you to remember prayer is the way to talk to God. Now, God reaches us in a number of different ways. He gives us thoughts and feelings through his Holy Spirit. He gives us his clear word in Scripture. Prayer is how we talk to Him. And if you say you love God and have a hard time remembering to talk with Him, something needs to be improved in that relationship. That's where our church is right now. We need to be working on this in our relationship with God, prioritizing time for Him. Now, in order to help you with this, I mentioned earlier, we have these guides, 21 days of prayer and fasting. Now, for some of you fasting, you're not sure what that is. This guide, in the first few pages, explains that so well. We've done fasting here before, and for some people that means fasting from a particular food. For me in the past, what I've done is I've fasted from solid food, and I will only get the nutrients I need by drinking something. I like food. So for me, that's a sacrifice. Then I'm sacrificing one thing in order to fill it with a God thing. 2 weeks ago, we talked about persecution. We talked about what it means to build your own cell. Persecuted followers of Jesus have time with God. It's given to them. Sometimes we think that's horrific, and yet what they say is, no, when you're prosperous, you need to build your own cell. You need to put limitations on your own life that will give you time and space with God. So maybe for you, you're thinking, well, I don't know when, I don't know how. If you can take 15 minutes over a lunch break, and instead of having your lunch, instead of eating, you say, I'm going to take these 15 minutes, I'm going to read one chapter from my Bible, I'm going to read one page from Our Daily Bread, these booklets that some people grab from the information table. There's the YouVersion app has Bible studies. I'm going to read one Bible study. There's all kinds of resources. I'm going to take a bit of Scripture, and then I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to follow the outline here. We have prayer guides. They're on a yellow sheet of paper. And Michael Jr. joked about this woman knowing God's nicknames. We actually have 8 Hebrew names of God on this so that you can become like that lady who Michael Jr. prayed with. These are just on the back table. Grab one of these on your way out because it gives you some different ideas, some different things to fill out as far as what to pray for. So if you, for 21 days, I want to challenge you. Prioritize prayer. Make it a part of your life. See what God does in your life. Start making that a habit and start today. Start today. We're going to be doing this. 21 days of prayer and fasting. Some people fast from social media. They start to feel anxious. Rather than grabbing for their phone, they take a moment to pray. So those prayer and fasting guys, now if you're not committed to doing this, if you're not saying right now, I've got to do something, I will try this. If you're not committing to it, please don't take one. I know it seems like they're free. We pay $2 to print every one of them. I don't want to like have you just throw $2 in the trash. It seems like a little bit, but it's the person next to you who donated that. Just take one if you're going to commit to 21 days of prayer. Now, if you don't do the fasting thing, you don't need the guide. I want to challenge you, though. Take 21 days. 21 days where you find a time, find a place, prioritize talking with God. Jesus didn't say if you pray. He said when you pray. And then he told us how. Let's do it. Let's pray right now. God, you are our Father in heaven. And we do want to keep your name holy. You are great. And we have fallen in so many ways. We pray that it wouldn't be about our will being done in the world, but God, that your kingdom, your authority would reign in our lives and in this community. We pray that you'd give us what we need for today. We don't need to have storehouses full of things. We trust that you'll provide for right now. And we pray, God, for your forgiveness. We know that Jesus was enough. And we pray that the people who have offended us, that we would have grace towards them. There are hurting people right now, God. We pray that you, and even through your church, even through me, through each of these individuals today, that we'd have a sensitivity, that we would see where the hurt is, and that we'd bring healing, just as Jesus would. And we pray, God, that the many ways that we could fall, the paths that we go down, that we know lead us into temptation. We've been down those roads. Show us the path to take that glorifies and honors you. It is the desire of our lives because you are worthy and we love you. Make it so. In Jesus' name, amen.